The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are pretty loyal people, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
So Jonah, I was thinking about when we were growing up, how we both had pretty unique style.
Yes.
And I thought this was funny that to remember what your main kind of like trend was.
Well, I had a lot of style, a lot of phases.
Right.
I had a big colored turtleneck phase, I would say around fifth
grade.
Yeah,
that's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was just into, I liked wearing turtlenecks. I feel like growing up in Cleveland, it was cold.
Right.
I just liked a sophisticated turtleneck, and I liked yellows, reds, kind of more autumny colors. And then I would like pairing it with a big, one of our dad's kind of dress shirts over it, like a XXL.
That's right.
And, you know, you throw some gel in your hair and you're just good to go.
Right. So that's so cute. So you would wear a colored turtleneck. This was fifth grade. You know what's so funny, Jonah, is I never put this together. In fifth grade, you were wearing a lot of colored turtlenecks. I never put together the thing that you were putting dad's huge shirts on over.
Yeah, because I remember dad kind of getting mad sometimes, being like, I don't have any shirts to wear to work. Like, Jonah's wearing all my shirts. And they were like these big kind of plaid, huge shirts.
It's funny because, you know, my best friend to this day, Gwen, we kind of became best friends in fifth grade, and she would wear turtlenecks every day too, but hers were more laid out by her mom, and they were all from Talbot's Kids, and they all had different patterns on them. Like, it would be like one day she'd wear a turtleneck that had like bells all over it, and then one day she'd wear a turtleneck that had like music notes all over it.
Sure, sure. I didn't have designs.
Yeah.
I had more just like straight up ones, colors, or some of them had that ribbed kind of texture
yeah.
to it.
Well, the design came in dad's shirts, probably. Like, dad's shirts were some kind of checkered.
Yeah, usually a plaid.
A plaid. That's what I meant.
Very basic plaid. Vanessa, what about you? What was your kind of vibe?
Well, you know, my biggest, most daring style trend, I guess, started when I was in preschool. And if you'll recall, I had really short, curly hair. A lot of people compared me to Orphan Annie or Shirley Temple. And, you know, I didn't mind that. I thought it was fine, but I also really wanted long hair, especially once I met my best friend, Julie Hill, who had beautiful long hair. I was like, you know, what the hell am I doing? So mom used to tie that really thick yarn around my head. So I'd have all this like yarn hanging down from my head. And then also, remember there were those barrettes that were like of different colors and different, they were each in the shape of like kind of different shapes, and it would come like 20 different barrettes in a set, and I would put all 20 barrettes in my hair. Plus I would put two kind of in the front of my hair that to me were sort of giving the illusion of being earrings.
Okay.
And then on top of that, I would wear like a tutu and
right.
And like, so I went into school kind of dressed, Jonah, in some ways a little punk. And I remember a really interesting thing that came out of this is our mom was interviewing to become a preschool teacher at the local JCC. And part of the reason she got her job was like the woman who was hiring, I'm blanking on her name right now, but she said like, I had seen Vanessa before and I thought like the way that you let her express herself was like really
wow,
a cool thing. So I...
That helped mom get the job.
Yeah.
The yarn was sort of like, kind of like a hair extension, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. It was like pre-hair extension.
Got it.
And look, did it match the color of my hair? No, but it looked, to me, it looked and felt like long hair. And
yeah, I think it's better that you didn't try to match the hair color, because it would be then you're trying to pass your hair off as yarn. Yarn looks a little different than hair. Yeah.
I think later on, Emily Eisenberg told me that she was scared of me in preschool because I dressed like that. But look, to me, it was like, this is what I wear. And
sure,
the fact that our mom just let me go to school that way, so cool.
It's great. It's great. Do you want to introduce today's guest?
I would love to.
Who I'm sure also has some great style stories.
I'm sure he has some great style stories. Our guest today is a comedian, actor, and musician. You've seen him all over LA and New York. You can see his hour-long comedy special, The Golden One, on HBO, and on his new tour, The Big Baby Tour. Everyone, it's Whitmer Thomas.
Hey, thanks for having me, y'all.
Thank you so much for being here.
I know you said it was okay if I interject in the stories, but they are really good descriptions, and I just didn't want it. I thought I was really entertained by it.
What was your vibe?
My vibe when I was like a little kid, I guess y'all were pretty little in those, the turtleneck and the yarn, was anything to look like I could be in the movie Terminator 2. So I would lay out my clothes. I was actually talking about this in therapy the other day, and my therapist was trying to spin it into being like a traumatic thing or something, or like a neglectful moment for my parents, but I don't think so. But I would lay out my clothes every night before preschool and school to try to like get as close as I could to either Edward Furlong or Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2. I would like pick out a hat. I would wear like a costume, almost Indiana Jones style jacket with like jeans with holes in them. And my first day of kindergarten, I wore fingerless gloves.
So the Edward Furlong to me is like the jeans.
Yeah.
And the jacket. And then the fingerless gloves, that's the Arnold Schwarzenegger. Is that accurate?
Biker punk.
Yeah.
It's like punk, but not authentic. It's like the way that James Cameron would kind of imagine a punk to be is what I wanted to be, you know?
Right.
I feel like who might be more punk was Edward Furlong's best friend, Danny Cooksey.
Yeah. Yeah.
That guy seemed kind of legitimately
from Salute
punk.
Your Shorts, right?
Salute Your Shorts, yeah. And he was in a band called Bad for Good with, I think, Brooks Wackerman, who was later in Bad Religion.
What?
This is the redheaded guy from Salute Your Shorts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he in Terminator 2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He played Edward Furlong's best friend in Terminator 2?
Yeah, they'd ride along on that bike together, right, or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's a great friendship. He just sort of dips. He literally gets pushed out of the movie by the cop. You know he auditioned so many times to play John Connor.
Right. And
yes.
Then they cast him as his best friend.
Right. But then I wonder if Salute Your Shorts was probably, who can know? I guess we could look it up. But Salute Your Shorts was around that time. And what else was Edward Furlong doing? You know what I mean? It's like probably a lot of other kind of like well-respected movies and stuff. But, you know, we were watching Salute Your Shorts. So to us, you know.
That guy was more of a.
Yeah.
He was more important. Yeah, I mean, I think something's wrong with my memory because I think Terminator 2 came out in 1991. I was two. But I remember my dad taking me to see it, which there's no way that I actually remember. This is made up. And I remember it being sold out. And I have this whole, maybe they re-released it or something.
They
like
might
that.
Have re-released it. That makes sense that they would maybe re-release it or.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're older than you. I remember maybe seeing it in theaters, but I remember then renting Terminator 1.
Oh, yeah.
To see it like and watching it at home and being like, oh, my God, it's so crazy that Arnold Schwarzenegger is a bad guy.
Same.
In Terminator 1 and being like, I don't like this at all.
Same. I didn't get it. I was like, same exact experience. It's funny to think, though, that people were going into Terminator 2 thinking he was going to be a bad guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's a nice guy. What a treat.
Yeah.
And something else we've talked about a lot in this podcast is the Guns N' Roses You Could Be Mine video
mm-hmm.
and the era of actors crossing over into music videos,
yes.
which I don't think you really see anymore.
What a time.
Right?
Is it Arnold Schwarzenegger walking down the hallway carrying a box of roses and the roses fall out and there's guns behind it? Is that who does it?
Yep. We love it. But so that's who I was sort of, most of my fashion was, I would say, was not authentic. It was me trying to emulate somebody else that I had seen that was cool. It wasn't a nice expression of a turtleneck with your dad's shirt over it or yarn in the hair or whatever. It's funny because when you're a kid, there's just like, oh, that kid has a, they're expressing themselves, or it's, that kid's crazy. And you always remember, like, there's a kid named Chuck who's got, like, jam on his face, who wears two hats at the same time. You know what I mean?
I guess what I want to know is how often you wore fingerless gloves.
Oh, all the time. And I would look at them. I wanted to go to the bicycle shop just so I could look at biking gloves and, like, try them on.
Were they, like, leather or were they, like, woolen?
No, they were bike gloves. So
oh, they were bike
they
gloves.
They were padded
okay.
on the bottom.
Got it.
And I had a black Chicago Bulls hat that I wore backwards, and I was always sick. I always had a cold, and I would blow my nose into it and put it back on.
Into your hat?
Yeah.
Where are you from, Whitmer?
I'm from Alabama. At the time, I was living in Birmingham, Alabama. So
okay. Punk kid living in Birmingham. So
yeah. But then eventually, I moved down to the beach down in Gulf Shores, Alabama. But
Got it. Well, it sounds like you had a really cool, unique style growing up. It sounds like we all did, honestly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's really something to be proud of.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I looked the coolest, probably. That was like my coolest. I think I was physically peaking.
Were you going to see like shows and bands play and stuff? Or that came a little later?
I think I started seeing bands play when I was 12 or
okay.
Or something. We would have to drive to Pensacola, Florida from Gulf Shores. Or my brother was 5 years older, so he could drive. And my first show he ever took me to was this band called The Suicide Machines, which was like a ska punk
Destruction
band.
By Definition.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Break the Glass.
Yeah. Okay. I knew we would be friends. But took me to see that band, and he said, you can come. You just have to film it. And he gave me one of them old camcorders, and I was getting so into it that you couldn't, like, I wish we still had the footage, but the camera was just shaking up and down because I was headbanging the whole time.
Yeah, nice.
But that, I would say that, you know, defined my personality, changed my life. And then I would see these bands coming through to my little town or near it, and I would try to get the things that they were wearing.
Yep.
But I didn't have the access to those things, so it would always be the worst version.
Yeah. I think it's like so different now because I feel like now there's stores like, I don't know, like Topshop or all these stores where you can get sort of clothes that are kind of stylish or like, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, that subculture, rock or punk or whatever. But I feel like it was impossible to find when I was a kid. There was just nowhere to get cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Where did y'all grow up?
Cleveland.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And I think it was sort of like pre-Hot Topic even,
mm-hmm.
like sort of
that when, you stuff kind of came out while we were in high school, but it was like, you had to kind of drive pretty far.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that accessible. I mean, and now there's like the internet. So you can.
Sure, the internet.
Now
right.
kids can like fully
yeah.
get all that stuff. But yeah, it was, you had to kind of be creative, which it sounds like we all were.
Yep.
You know?
Big time.
Some people were buying those biking gloves for like biking.
Nope, not me.
Not you.
We've talked about this podcast before. I had a pretty long JNCO phase, and my friend's mom was a tailor, and she would cut open the JNCOs, put in extra fabric in like the shape of a triangle to actually make them bigger. And the bottom of these JNCOs were like 30 inches. I mean, my waist was also like probably 30 inches.
Jonah was very tiny.
So I would actually like get the biggest jeans and then extend them. And I was working at Kids R Us. We just talked about that in the podcast. I would wear them everywhere. I would trip on them all the time. They would get really dirty because they'd be like the bottom part would be like dragging on the floor. If I had to go upstairs, it was like always like, am I going to fall?
Oh,
it
was,
yeah, but yeah, you couldn't make, you know, you had to make your own clothes, I guess, if you wanted that cool look.
This leads into our topic. So maybe let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back to talk to Whitmer Thomas about JNCOs and more.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
And we're back. So Jonah kind of did a seamless segue into it. But Whitmer, your topic today, which is really one that we're excited to talk about, was cool jeans from when we were growing up. Now, Jonah got into kind of where he landed, which was JNCOs, but there was a journey to get there. And Whitmer, did you have, what was your journey like finding cool jeans when you were a kid?
Oh man, it was impossible. It was so, and the reason I suggested that is they emailed me and were like, as I was in a fitting room at JCPenney yesterday and trying on different jeans because it was a reminder of how difficult it was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I became fully obsessed with like punk music, and they all had tight pants, which in 2001 just didn't exist. And you couldn't buy jeans that were like not giant.
Right.
So I would do whatever I could, you know, to get the closest possible thing that I could. And it was pretty much impossible. So I always felt like the right person on top, but then the lower half of my body never looked right. And I would skate. I grew up skateboarding a lot, so we would film skate videos. And man, we all just look like fools skating around because we can't find the right jeans.
Yeah.
Well, did you experiment at all with girls' jeans? Because that was big in that
That's
scene,
what I was
right?
going to yeah. say yeah. is I would notice my jeans would be missing all the time. Jonah would just take my jeans.
Well, that's what I do. I would take my stepmom at the time's pants eventually. But that took the shift out of like punk music and more into hardcore emo music.
Right.
As soon as my bangs got a bit thicker and then I started stealing my stepmom's jeans, and everything just sort of started to make sense at that point. Except even now you look at the photos and all of the crotches of our jeans are like 2 inches long. And
right.
like
right.
we shouldn't be wearing these low rise.
Right. They were low rise. That was the style. Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Whitmer, I wanted to show you this. I thought you'd be impressed by this.
Oh, wait, what?
This is my gold plaque from Under Oath from their Only Chasing Safety to commemorate 2 consecutive weeks number 1 on the Billboard Heat Seeker chart. So this record is very old.
Wait, hold up. Why do you have that?
I used to work at this magazine, Alternative Press.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, of course.
I was a music editor there in the early 2000s, and that was like when this record came out and was huge, and we had promoted them a lot. Are you familiar with this?
Oh, absolutely. I was at the show where Under Oath kicked Dallas out. Dallas, their singer.
No way.
The first singer out of the band.
Did it happen during the show?
We drove to Birmingham, which was then, you know, I had moved 5 hours south. We drove up to Birmingham to see them play with this band called From Autumn to Ashes.
Yes.
And the Under Oath, we saw them walking up in a fight, and Dallas was just sort of sitting there getting, I think, sort of scolded or something. And then we were like, we have a bad feeling. And then Timmy, I think is his name, their guitar player, went out and was, when they were supposed to play, and we're like, we're really sorry, we can't play. And we all were like, Dallas is gone. I knew Spencer, the singer who took over from his band, This Runs Through, I think was the name. My older brother's band was friends with that band. So when he joined, I remember that record coming out. I worked at Froggy's making ice cream for tourists.
Okay.
And I would listen to it constantly. And at first I was like, I think a bit of an elitist because it was very much more commercial. But now I listen to it and I'm like, this shit rocks, man. What do you do? Because it's like a lot more singy.
I have an Under Oath story that I want to tell. One time we went to dinner with them. Do you remember this, Jonah?
So this is also probably this era. This is like early 2000s. This is like very, I would say 2002, 2003.
I'm less familiar with their music, but we went to dinner with them because they were in town playing Warped Tour. Was it like a Cleveland?
I was working on Warped Tour and we had like a day off in Cleveland. And so you were living in Cleveland, I think. So I don't, for some reason, we all went out to dinner with them.
And your friend, John Stewart, found the place. Remember, and he was super stressed out that it wasn't a good place or something. But anyway, we went to dinner with them and I was about to move to Chicago because I'd like just graduated college. So it must have been like, it must have been like 2004. They were like, you're moving to Chicago. And I was like, yeah. They were like, that's cool. Somehow it came up like, how are you going to afford to like move or something? And I was like, I have money from my bat mitzvah. And I didn't know that they were a Christian band. And they were like, oh, is that like your, like they were kind of like asking me what a bat mitzvah was. It was like so funny because like I had no idea. And I was like, yeah, my bat mitzvah. You guys know about bar and bat mitzvahs, but like they didn't.
Our school was so Jewish that like.
Our school was so Jewish.
Yeah.
That we had bar and bat mitzvahs every weekend. So I just assumed, I was like, oh, the guys in this band Under Oath probably had bar and bat mitzvahs every weekend too.
No, I mean, so, they should have known though. I mean,
they were so like, I just remember them looking at me like they had no idea what I was talking about. And I was like, okay, you're the ones who are being weird.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, that's my only experience with Under Oath is telling them about my bat mitzvah.
I feel like we saw them much later, Terminal 5
or maybe
something.
Maybe we did. I don't know.
Maybe. But maybe it was just me. I thought maybe you were with me.
I think of the dinner more than I think of their music. I couldn't really name a song for you.
I don't think it's your kind of music, really.
It's really not.
To be honest.
They were the pre-My Chemical Romance, but post Dashboard Confessional. So it was like they were blending screamy music with singing music, but they were also singing like those lyrics that people make fun of now, which it's like, you know, like about the seasons and the crying tears of red or whatever it is, you know, yeah, that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
So it was like very just perfect for me at the time.
What was your kind of look at this time? Said you had bangs or what was your, were you emulating that style?
Yeah, I was in a band called Say Your Last, which is, doesn't make any sense as a band name. So we had to add ... to the end of it because we forgot to, it was supposed to be Say You Are Last. Like it was meant to be like a, you're last in line. You're always last in line or, you know, that kind of thing. But then we forgot that we needed an apostrophe. And it was a whole mess. But so yeah.
Wait, so it was Say Y-O-U-R Last?
Yeah.
And then like, you had to change it to Y-O-U apostrophe R-E?
No, we just added an ellipses at the end to where it meant say your last words because I'm going to kill you, or that was the
got it. Okay,
yeah, so we were all wearing girls jeans. I would dye a spot in my hair here and there, a bleached kind of spot. I had an Under Oath shirt that I wish I still had called where it said a picture of Florida and it said where America goes to die, which I think is a really clever cool shirt, but not for a Christian band. It was always weird to me that these bands were Christian, and then sometimes you'd hang out with them and be like, oh, you're Christian, so you can be signed to Solid State Records. Like,
yeah,
you're not actually a Christian band. I had a pair of green girls jeans. I had some Nike Cortez shoes, and I had the smallest little shirt you could ever find, and like a track jacket. That was the vibe.
Similar to you, Jonah. That's not so far.
Yeah,
off,
similar
right?
vibe. And I talked about this recently with someone. Those American Apparel track jackets.
Yeah.
I felt were such a big thing, and like a lot of bands would make merch on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I had so many of those things.
So speaking of American Apparel, I would see that on the merch table at the Every Time I Die show or whatever the van was. And I was a kid, like young kid, so I didn't have any money to buy that stuff. But I knew of what American Apparel was because it was always the softest shirt on the merch table.
Yep, yep.
And then when I moved to LA when I was 18, I was walking down Main Street in Santa Monica and I walked by an American Apparel store and I called my friends and was like, you know that company with the soft shirts? It's a whole store. They have nothing but those shirts. And I couldn't believe that I had like this in, this access
yeah.
to the dream hoodie, the dream track jacket, whatever it was. And I remember being so like immediately jealous and bitter towards kids who grew up in LA because they could go to American Apparel at any time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't that access. You're totally
we
right.
We didn't have that.
They never sold jeans. Did the American Apparel sell jeans?
They tried eventually. I don't think it took off.
They did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I want to say, speaking of brands, like there was a time when clothing brands were really important to Jonah. I'm going to call it when we were in middle school. I'm in fifth grade. Jonah's in seventh grade. So this is turtlenecks and dad's shirts are maybe being phased out. And what's being phased in is a little designer called Gerbeau, called Francois Gerbeau.
Francois Gerbeau. Yes.
Francois Gerbeau, Calvin Klein, and Guess?
Gerbeau was a big one. Guess too. But yeah, it was, I had a couple friends that had these Gerbeau jeans and like their thing was like, they had like a little tag on the fly. I don't know if you remember this. They had, it said like Gerbeau on like almost a tag on the fly and that like made them their thing.
Yeah.
They were really expensive.
They were really expensive. I mean, probably the sizes that you guys were wearing, which were like clearly for boys.
Yeah.
Were not as expensive, but yeah.
But I remember them being really expensive and I remember it really being, you know, one of the only times I really remember like being not peer pressure, but feeling like I need this piece of clothing in order to like be cool.
Yeah.
Like, and I think different than when like getting into punk and stuff, I felt like it was more like people will like me if I'm wearing this stuff and they won't if I'm not wearing it. And it, but it doesn't feel like authentic to my personality.
Interesting. Interesting.
You know what I mean? Like, it was like, oh, this is what I have to do in order to have friends. And so I think I would bug our parents about it and I would get one or two pairs. I'd wear them all the time. And then I think very quickly I kind of cycled out of that, but that was,
yeah.
Does that make sense at all?
Oh yeah, I did that too, big time. I got flip-flops. They're called rainbow.
Yes.
Okay.
Flip-flops, because I was like, grew up in a beach town and the girl I liked was much more of a beach girl, and I remember there was like a year of my life where I would wear flip-flops and but every time I put them on I would look in the mirror and go, this ain't me. This ain't who I am.
Yeah. Well, it seems like both of you like the kind of like more sort of punk outfits that you would put on, you would put those on because you like genuinely like wanted to be that way. Whereas like
right.
the flip flops or the jeans were like more you trying to be like accepted by other people, but it didn't feel like you were saying, Joan, like authentic yeah. to you.
And then we were sort of like, well, forget society. We're going to be right. you know, the punks and the outcasts and we're going to embrace this. Yeah. Vanessa, what about you? Did you have an article clothing that you felt like you wore, but maybe didn't feel authentic to your personality?
I had a couple things. I, you know, when I discovered Limited 2 in about, I'm going to call it third grade or second grade, like I was like, oh, this is really stylish. I don't know if you guys remember Limited 2.
Oh, yeah.
There was the Limited. Yeah. And then the kids version was Limited 2. I think I've talked about this before, but for Hanukkah one year, mom got me this outfit that was like big white sweater and these stretch pants that were like black and white checkered, like almost pretty small checkers, like almost an optical illusion, like almost hard to look at. But cool. A long necklace that you wore over the sweater and a beret. and I was like, this is a perfect outfit. And I wore it to school one day. And I remember like one kid made fun of me for wearing a beret. And the teacher was like immediately on this kid and was like, fuck you. Like the beret looks cool. Not those words, but... And then like I like really liked Limited 2 and I remember like wanting to get a lot of my clothes from Limited 2 and that and feeling like a little bit of pressure but also like genuinely liking the clothes, except one year I got mom to buy me these like bell bottoms. Like bell bottoms had come back in school.
Okay.
And I could never get myself to wear them to school. I was like too nervous to wear them. Like I kept trying to wear them to school and I got like too nervous. And I think eventually I like gave them to Megan Gutman. And there was a girl in your grade, Jonah, Susie Yasowitz, wore her Limited 2 bell bottoms once to school. And I remember like everyone like kind of circling around her on the playground. I remember being like, I can't do it. Like I good for her, but like this will never be me. And they were bell-bottom jeans. And I remember like I couldn't go that far. But I will say once we got into high school and stuff, yeah, I think ninth grade, I got, Jonah was so into JNCOs and mom got me a pair of girl JNCOs, which were like to Jonah and his friend Lee Rollins. It was like the wider the bottoms of the jeans, the better.
It's interesting. And Whitmer, you will, I know you're a little younger, but I think you will understand this. Like JNCOs were like associated very much with rave culture, but then also with like metalcore.
Oh yeah.
Those worlds are so different kind of stylistically, but I felt like I was really into like mm-hmm. hardcore metalcore, and so I had that, but I kind of think I looked like maybe a raver or something.
I remember the first time I ever saw JNCOs and I was like so fascinated. I think I was 10 and I was at a roller rink and there was a bunch of ravers all in JNCOs with pacifiers in their mouth, and they were like the hottest girls I had ever seen in my life. They must have been like 15 or something. Easily the hottest like living people I had ever been in proximity of. And then my mom started dating this guy whose son had JNCOs, and they had a taxi cab motif kind of thing.
Interesting.
Like the checkered thing on the side and then like a picture of a cab and it said JNCO. Something like that. And I was like, I need those so bad. And there was no way to get JNCOs. So
yeah,
but there was like ripoff JNCOs everywhere. And so I think I got a pair of those shorts and the pockets were so big. The back pocket went from like the top of the pants all the way to the bottom of the shorts.
Oh yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I looked like a little damn fool, but
I forgot about the long pockets. So they would have these really long pockets. And then at the bottom of the pocket, there'd be some kind of like patch of like a cartoon character or something. Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah. That's mine. Definitely. Yeah.
It'd be like a mouse, like on a skateboard or something like that.
Like Jonah said, he's always been a pretty thin guy. And he was wearing these pants that were so wide at the bottom that it looked like he was wearing like, he almost looked like an anime character of like wearing a skirt, like it just like this tiny waist and like just this huge kind of skirt. And almost just like floating around school because as you said, they were so long that it just looks like this guy's floating around.
The bottoms would have just this ring of just mud that had caked on from just walking because you would sometimes step on the bottoms because they were too long. And so just caked. But then, you know, my denim journey continued. And in my early 20s, when I worked at Alternative Press, there were a couple guys there who had really cool style I wanted to emulate. And they were really into diesel jeans.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Jonah, you brought up diesel jeans. And I was like, I don't remember Jonah's diesel jeans phase, but this was later.
This was like my early 20s. I got into those like right post college, but this was probably like, I grew up 2002, 2003. And I felt like those were really popular too.
I remember trying to figure out what those jeans were because Jimmy Fallon was wearing Diesel jeans on something. And I remember thinking he looked cool.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out what that logo on the back of the pocket was and doing all kinds of research and then realizing, oh, I can't get Diesel jeans. But then moving to LA, there was a Diesel store. Never got Diesel jeans.
Did that completely blow your mind when you saw the Diesel store?
Yeah, it wasn't as exciting as American Apparel. But.
I remember trying on Diesel jeans once in high school. I was at the Tower City Mall or some mall with mom. And I remember almost getting these Diesel jeans, but they were $100. And it was like, there's no way I can spend that much money on jeans. But I do kind of lightly blame Diesel. I feel like when we were younger, jeans were like $40, maybe less.
Yeah.
But then now it's so accepted that jeans are so expensive. That's partially Diesel's fault. I don't have any proof for that. But I just feel like they were like, we're going to charge $1 billion for jeans. And then everyone was like, okay, that's what jeans are.
Yeah, there's no excuse because like Wranglers, those like classic kind of cowboy Wranglers are probably the best made jeans. And they're $22.
Yeah.
So why do some pants cost so much money? Is it just that they're, yeah, I guess because they can. I don't know.
Yeah, like Jerbo, that's the brand.
You know, I still like wearing kind of skinny-ish jeans. Maybe not as skinny as that era was cool in that early 2000s, but I still prefer skinny jeans. But skinny jeans are, my wife has informed me, are like not cool anymore. Kids today, and I noticed we were in Boston over the weekend, they wear not JNCOs, but these kind of more wider leg.
Yeah.
Like I feel like skinny jeans are kind of over.
I still skate a lot. Like that's the only thing in the world that makes me happy. And so I skate with all children all the time and I'm hanging out with just like kids a lot. I'd say skating often informs, skaters will inform whatever the next trend.
Yes.
I'd say when basketball players start wearing it, it means it's over. Like when pro athletes. Yeah, right now they're wearing what's called the Polar Big Boys, which are that's the go-to jeans.
Really? What are those?
They're not JNCOs. They're more like Silver Tab. Remember that like Levi's offshoot of those sort of baggy Tommy Hilfiger late 90s era kind of style?
Right.
Like boy band pants, I would describe them as, which I don't quite have those. I wear, they're called Polar 93 denim, which is back to my Terminator kind of thing. But I'm obsessed with jeans.
Okay.
I buy jeans on Depop all the time. That's all I look at anytime I go to like a vintage or a thrift store. But the thing about skinny jeans, I feel like a lot of people are hang on to skinny jeans. Like Dave Chappelle, like his fashion is like really, really bad. And he wears like skinny pants and very long, long t-shirts. And I think it's because people who grew up with baggy pants and stuff, it took them a while, I'm not talking about you, but it took a lot of these people a long time to accept tight pants.
Yes.
And so I think when they did, they're like, this is all I'm going to wear from a point of pride.
Yeah.
I'm never going back. This is my personality now, forever skinny jeans.
I think that's an interesting point. Well, for me, when I wear really big baggy clothes, it makes me feel like I'm like 10 years old.
That's nice.
Right. Because that's kind of how you used to dress. Because yeah. You used to wear so much of dad's stuff.
Yeah.
Also, our dad is like, he's not a huge guy, but he's a bigger, like, it's like not like, I wouldn't say you guys are built exactly the same way. I'd say he's a bigger guy than you.
Yeah.
Very fit. I know he's going to listen to this and I want to say he's very fit. But just like different size.
Yeah, different sizes.
By the way, just before we move on, I just want to say, do you guys know what JNCO stands for?
No. Jean Company?
It stands for Judge None, Choose One.
Oh. Judge None, Choose One.
And they're a Los Angeles-based company.
Judge None, Choose One.
Judge None, Choose One. It sounds kind of like the name of your band.
Yeah, I could see you playing a show with them. They might have been on Trustkill or something.
What's up, everybody? We are Judge None, Choose One. Let's see a fucking circle bit. Let's go!
Wait, what are some other fashion trends that like skaters are wearing, young skaters are wearing today, maybe so I can kind of get updated with my look?
Right.
Like what kind of shoes?
Shoes right now. Well, there's some skaters who are kind of like, there's a group called Sex Emo, which are, they're all like super young Gen Z, maybe 20 at the oldest. And they will wear flared, some of them will wear a very small shirt with flared jeans, like a skinny kind of like girl jeans, a white belt even with big chunky like S or DC or that kind of shoes, you know, like the old skater shoes from the early 2000s.
Yeah.
But skating now, it's a blend of everything. I think the coolest looking skaters, my favorite is always just like a guy in a flannel or, you know, in some, but it's mostly, I'd say the trend right now is baggy jeans, a hoodie, even though it's in LA, even if it's 100 degrees. Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe like a hat that says some company on it. It's hard to figure out what the exact trend is right now because of with social media and stuff, they're pulling from every type of...
Right.
I think it's kind of... I was reading something about fashion. They were saying that it used to be that you would emulate what was like 20 or 15 years behind you.
Yeah.
And now that's not going to happen really anymore because of social media and just being so online. But I would say it's kind of early 90s.
I was going to say it sounds very 90s to me.
Yeah.
Which also skating feels very 90s to me. I don't know if that's an overstatement.
You ain't wrong.
Is that when like places started having ramps and stuff, like skating ramps? And
I think earlier, a little earlier. I want to say like late 70s maybe was like.
Yeah, there was like it peaked in the mid 80s, all of the ramps and stuff. And then they all got torn down because skating was sort of seen as a fad that went away. And then so skaters kind of took it to the streets a bit more. And then by the mid 90s, it was kind of back and then there to stay.
Yeah.
With like ramps and skate parks and skate shops. And yeah. But skaters in skate parks now, they're skating to American football adjacent bands, which is strange to kind of Midwest emo music over skate videos doesn't quite make sense, but it somehow works with all these new younger people. They're finding these old bands and kind of
really
not old bands, but it is this really kind of, it's a exciting moment in skating.
That's interesting because I always associate like skaters with listening to like Suicidal Tendencies or like listening to like Strung Out or some thrash punk.
Yeah, Strung Out. I was just listening to Strung Out yesterday. But it's like a soft, skaters are becoming soft and it's really nice. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. I support that 100%.
I associate skaters with like No Doubt, but is that just because of my limited?
Well, No Doubt, you know, Orange County kind of punk, I would say punk adjacent kind of. I see it.
I can't believe you never got punk, Vanessa. It's time for you to go punk.
Believe me, I tried. There's an incredible, I tried to like go to Jonah, like starting in like high school and going all the way through like my 20s, like anytime I'd go to one of Jonah's shows, I would like dress up, like try to look punk, least punk person there. And there is an iconic, we should post it. There's an iconic photo of Jonah and I in our JNCOs in high school.
Yep.
Standing in front of Jonah's car, which was just like littered with bumper stickers for punk bands.
That's really nice.
And used to belong to our grandma.
Yep. Gave it a little refresh.
Gave it a little refresh. Sure. Well, it sounds like we all had really unique style and continue to do so. We're going to take another quick commercial break and we'll be right back with Whitmer Thomas.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge,
You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Okay, and we're back. So, Whitmer, now we're going to play this really incredible game called Legit Moan or Unnecessary Groan.
Legit Moan. Unnecessary Groan.
And basically, this game was inspired by our local Cleveland newspaper growing up, The Plain Dealer, which used to have this column every Monday called Monday Moaning, where people would write in with extremely petty complaints. And Jonah and I always thought they were very funny. And about 10 years ago, they stopped doing this, but thank goodness for archives. So we found three of them, and we're going to go through them one at a time and say whether we think that the complaint is legit, otherwise known as a legit moan, or whether we think it's unnecessary, otherwise known by us as an unnecessary groan.
Okay, great.
So this is like the proto Twitter, basically, but it was printed in our newspaper. And so I can kick us off. This is a short one. This one's from Parma, and it just says, thanks to the jerk that stole my Callaway Heavenwood out of my golf bag at Ridgewood Golf Course while I was paying for the green fees. The golf gods will pay you back someday, you lowlife.
Dang. Wow.
So what do you think? Do you think that's a legit complaint, or do you think that's a little unnecessary? I mean, what's your take? The tone is intense.
Stole the golf club? Those things are expensive. I'd say legit.
Yeah.
Especially at a golf place where people probably got a little bit of scratch. They can get their own damn golf club.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's legit. Yeah. I'd say that's a legit.
Legit.
That's
moan.
Legit moan.
Legit moan. Yeah. I would say it's legit, but I want to kind of ding this person on their, well, I guess I would call it a passive-aggressive attitude. They're thanking this person. Thanks to the jerk. It's like, couldn't you say my complaint is to, you know, just seems like a little bit passive-aggressive to be saying thanks to the jerk. And then the golf gods will pay you back someday, you lowlife.
Lowlife is really good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I agree. I think it's a legit moan, but I just think the way that this person worded their complaint makes me want to steal a golf club from
them. That's true.
That is true.
Jonah, what do you think?
I'm just picturing this person writing this letter and being like, my Callaway's gone. I got to write the Plain Dealer, and just like calling. I bet you lowlife was not the first insult this guy used. I bet you it came down a few notches.
Yeah.
I get the vibe, you know, with the golf gods. Like, I think like if this guy had a real forum where he could say what he wanted, it would be a little more intense.
Right.
This seems toned down, but you get this undercurrent of real anger and, you know, like, just, you don't want to mess with this person. Although someone did mess with him, and, you know, I guess we'll just see what happens with the golf gods.
Yeah.
He's probably like, he makes things about him a lot, I bet.
Right.
Yes. Probably not a great guy to hang with.
Yeah.
But,
right.
And really excited for the first time to have something that he can actually complain about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He probably complains about a lot of things. I get a sense this is not a good tipper.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So we're really turning on this person.
So I'm gonna say legit moan, but legit I don't want to really necessarily hang out with this person.
Right.
How about this? Legit moan, but watch your tone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's move on to the next one. It seems like we were all in agreement that that one was legit. Okay. On Saturday, August 13th, I had the pleasure of enjoying the doo-wop's concert at Kane Park. However, it was marred by three men, in parentheses, definitely not gentlemen by my standards, who sat in front of me and my friends. Constantly and throughout the first act, each one of them held up overhead their phone cameras, taking pictures and making videos. It was definitely distracting and annoying. I wonder if some people have ever heard of the Golden Rule.
And this one's from Chardon, Ohio. Whitmer, what do you think of this? Is this legit or unnecessary?
Okay, so what's this person doing again?
This person's going to the doo-wop's concert at Kane Park. So I would think it's like an outdoor concert.
Kane Park is where I used to see Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. It's that kind of, yes.
So, and the people sitting in front of them, is it like they're sitting in a park or it's like the sign seats?
I can't remember. I think it's kind of like a park. Maybe you sit on the grass or something. I don't remember. I've been there a long time.
Okay. The people in front of them keep holding their phone cameras up overhead and taking pictures and making videos. Right. And this guy's saying it was distracting and annoying.
Yes.
And he wants to know if some people have ever heard of the Golden Rule.
Which is do unto others. Okay. So... Yes. Okay, and these are old, right? These are from a long time ago?
Yeah, these are about, I would say 2011, probably, I'm guessing.
Okay, so this guy is potentially new to the idea of a video phone.
Yes.
It just depends, I went and saw My Chemical Romance the other night, and everybody was filming it, and you could figure out how old the person was who was filming it just by which way they were holding their phone while they were filming it. If it was vertical, it's probably a young person, and if it's horizontal, it's probably an older millennial. I'd say unnecessary groan.
Okay.
Unnecessary.
To be honest, groan. Who cares? I don't care about filming stuff. People can film me perform anytime and put it on YouTube. I don't give a shit. I hate it when people complain about people were filming this. Like, yeah, because they want to watch it later. I mean, this is coming from the guy whose brother first concert he ever went to was
filming.
Had to film it. So, yeah. Say unnecessary.
Jonah, what about you?
I'm conflicted about this one.
Same.
I think, and I pointed this out in the doc, I'm not sure this person understands a golden rule exactly. Like, they didn't like that being done to them with a phone, so you wouldn't do that to someone else. I don't know. But then, Whitmer, there's people like you who don't care. So it's not exactly...
Also, I don't think they're not doing that to anyone. They're filming the show for themselves.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's like, would they want someone in front of them filming?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And this is why I'm conflicted. I do get, sure, it can be annoying maybe if you're like at a show and there's like a phone screen in front of your face the whole time. But the part that makes it tough for me is it feels hypocritical because I watch concerts and bands on YouTube all the time of people filming shows, so I don't have to leave my house. I'm like, I wonder what Bad Religion's like lineup sounds like now. I can watch a whole show, but someone at that show had someone next to them the whole time holding the phone. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do it unless it's like a professional production. So, and we also have to take the time into context. Like, maybe this person isn't used to it. I think there was kind of a transitional point around then when people started filming. There's so many variables here. I mean, I feel like if you're going to film it and never watch it again, then it's annoying. But if you're actually going to maybe distribute... So I'm going to say this is an unnecessary groan just based on the personality. I find this definitely not gentleman by my standards comment to be very insulting and unnecessary. And then I feel like the mislabeling of the golden rule to be a bit kind of high and mighty and pedantic. So I'm going to say unnecessary groan. You can control the way you react to things. You can't control the external world. And so that's maybe something this person should think about. Vanessa, what are your thoughts?
Said like a true mental health counselor. I agree with you guys. The reason I was asking about the seating arrangement is because if you are like truly in a park and you don't like the people in front of you, you can move. Like, I know that I'm sure the doo-wop's concert was packed.
Right. I forgot it was a doo-wop.
I'm sure it was similar
concert.
To that My Chemical Romance concert. Yeah, similar.
Yeah.
Similar turnout.
They're probably the only people filming it now that I'm thinking about it.
Right.
Well, then that's what I'm saying. It's like, just move then. Like, if you don't have assigned seats, it would be one thing if it was like, we were at this show, we each paid like $400 for our seats, and like these people in front of us in their seats were like blocking our view, but it's like, you're in a park, like you can move. As you said, Whitmer, probably not everyone was filming at a doo-wop's concert.
No, yeah.
I don't even think... Who are the doo-wops?
Do they just cover doo-wop song?
Yeah, I guess. I thought it was a genre of music. Yeah, I don't know if it's a band. I think this person might be confused. I don't know.
Sounds like if you were watching a TV show or like a generic movie that took place in the 50s, they'd be like, we're going to see the doo-wops tonight. Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel like it's a real
band. I'm not sure it's a real band. I'm not sure. Maybe someone can let us know. Yeah. No, it is. It is. Continuing tradition. This is 2011. The doo-wops return to Cleveland Heights. It's quickly becoming a Cleveland Heights summertime tradition. This was the third straight year they played there. So I don't know if it's still happening, but it was happening from 08 to 2011. Yeah.
Well, this person's certainly talking about them like you should know. Of course, the doo-wops.
Wow. Also, listen to this. Speaking of the doo-wops, a 46-song set list is in place for the August 13th, approximately three-hour concert.
Jesus Christ.
So this person must have been losing their mind when hour three goes on with this phone in front of their face.
He's got to hear somebody go... Derp, 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 derp.
I was going to say this person was probably like, they said constantly throughout the first act. Of course, because by the second act, these people's arms were probably so tired. Constantly throughout the first act. So just sit it out. A human body can only raise a camera for so long.
But, and if film, I would especially want to be filming at a doo-wops show because of all them funny noises they're always having to make. Like, ooh, they're doing Wonder What's in My... Wonder, whatever, you know that song?
Yeah.
I want to know what that guy looks like.
Yeah.
Who's going to be singing that weird part.
I think based on the venue and the length of the show, I'm going to give this an unnecessary groan.
Yeah. Unnecessary.
That's okay, fair enough.
Now, Jonah, do you want to read this last one?
Yeah. My Monday moan is when I visit my primary care doctor. The pharmaceutical salespersons frequently outnumber the patients in the waiting room. More annoying is when they take the salespersons ahead of the patients, and even more irritating is to see the salesperson giving perks to the office help and hear them giving dinner invitations to the doctor for him and his wife. All this should be done before or after hours. Patients should come first. And that's from Euclid, Ohio. Wimmer, have you ever experienced this or what do you
think?
Oh, you have? Okay.
I have.
Okay.
I think this is absolutely a legit groan.
A legit moan.
Legit moan.
One time was sicker than I've ever been in my life, probably. And my dad, when I was in high school, took me to the doctor that I would go to. And we had a relationship, you know, he'd known me growing up. And we were the only person in the waiting room. And my dad just gets so frustrated at one point after waiting for like an hour or so. And we, like, you know, had an appointment, all that stuff. That he just goes into, because he kind of knew the doctor, you know, he goes into the room and opens the door and he's just like getting like a massage from the pharmaceutical rep, who's this babe, smoking hot babe. And my dad got so mad that he like very articulately kind of probably cussed the guy out and then took me somewhere else. I think we had to drive like an hour away to a different hospital. But yeah, it's annoying. You know, my stepsister does this job. She's a pharmaceutical rep. She talks about she doesn't like to play the games that all the other ones do and the things that the doctor... It's like doctors shouldn't be given perks from people to shell out pills, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's evil. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it seems like this person's point is also just like, don't take up time that you could be seeing patients.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like if you are getting like a new drug and you're like, okay, maybe I'll use, like, just don't take up the time that you should be seeing patients. And doing it in front of patients is also so rude to be like, we'll take you next, but first we're going to talk to this pharmaceutical rep and like get a bunch of free snacks and
yeah.
And like talk about the dinners we're going to with them.
Oh yeah.
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 I think a lot of doctors do it. They like really look forward to that time.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I love free stuff,
right.
But not at the expense of my fans.
True.
So legit moan from Whitmer. Vanessa, what do you think?
Yeah, legit moan.
Legit moan.
So crazy. This person's saying, my Monday moan is when I visit my primary care doctor, the pharmaceutical salespersons frequently outnumber the patients in the waiting room. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's annoying when they take the salespersons ahead. That's insane. That's a complete legit moan. I also feel like this doctor should be out of business. Like, you can't run a business that way. I don't know why this person doesn't get a new doctor.
Yeah.
But I still think it's a little bit on this person, like, go somewhere else. But also, I do think it's a legit moan. What about you, Jonah?
Yeah, I think this is also totally legit. I've never experienced this where I've been in The Doctor, and there's all these I picture them holding like a lot of stickers and like magnets for like drugs with really long names. They got a track jacket
from American Apparel.
Yeah. So
it says Pfizer on it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I've never experienced this. So to be honest, it felt a little bit, I thought maybe it was a little exaggerated. I also thought the part where the person was like, and they're offering dinners for the doctor and his wife seemed like very specific.
Right. That's, I think, a thing that happens a lot.
Now I'm thinking maybe it's so specific because this has really happened to this person. And so they have the details and I...
Oh, they're not making it up, Jonah.
I don't think they're making it up. And you know what I like about this one, too, that makes me also want to support it is the tone. I mean, they're not calling these people lowlifes.
Right.
They're not saying they're not gentlemen in my book. I mean, it's just straight.
They're
this
not
is
golden
my...
rule people.
Yeah, they're not bringing up the golden rule out of context.
Yeah.
They're saying it straight. They're saying their complaint. It's a legit complaint, and I support it. I think the doctor should be serving the patients, and the pharmaceutical rep should see them on their own time, if they see them at all.
To your point, Jonah, so you're calling this a legit moan.
Yes.
Legit and to your point, moan. I just want to say, this is how you write a Monday moaning complaint.
Yes.
I just want to read the last sentences of the three examples we read today.
Okay.
The last sentence of the first one was, the golf gods will pay you back someday, you lowlife. It's like, even though we agreed with this person,
yeah,
work on your tone. The second person wrote, I wonder if some people have ever heard of the golden rule. Used it incorrectly, kind of. And it's like, don't end with that. Like, end with your strongest point.
What's the last sentence of this one?
The last sentence of this one, patience should come first.
Yep, yep.
Thank you. You're right. That's a strong way to end. That leaves me thinking, okay, this person has a really great point. That's a lesson to these other people who really, and to the majority of the people who write into Monday Moaning, who like can't really help themselves, but like take like a really unfair, unnecessary dig at the end.
Mm.
So
yeah,
that's where we are. Well, Whitmer, we had so much fun with you today. Can you tell us where people can find you?
You just look me up. At Whitmer Thomas, across the board, Whitmer Thomas, at all of them, then you'll be able to find me. And I'm going on tour.
Where are you mostly touring?
All over the country, pretty much. I'm missing some Denver and Detroit just because of scheduling stuff. But I'll probably be coming kind of close to wherever you live, unless you live in Kansas, too, which I'll go back there one day.
Sure, sure. So if you live in Kansas, just be patient.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, great. Well, that was really fun. Thanks so much to Whitmer for joining us and everyone for listening. If you enjoyed that, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we'll discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones like cool jeans.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland, a man is walking his dog when suddenly
Shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.